Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Confirmed SARS-CoV-2 cases in South Dakota are expected to rise after a pop-up testing site in the Sioux Falls area has tested more than 2,600 Smithfield plant employees and their families. The plant is working to reopen according to guidance from the CDC. Investigators from the CDC visited the closed plant in mid-April and issued a report with guidance for worker safety and contagion control. President Donald Trump issued an executive order on April 28th calling for operations at America's meat production facilities to continue, quote, uninterrupted to the maximum extent possible while following CDC and OSHA guidelines. Joining us for a conversation about how workers are navigating the reopening of the plant, we welcome Cooper Caraway. He is the Sioux Falls AFL-CIO president. Cooper, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Lori.
I want to start from the last time that we talked. The plant was closed when you came on the program before, and we were waiting for the report from the CDC from their investigation. We've seen that report now, but we haven't talked about it. Tell me a little bit about some of the limitations of what the CDC investigators were able to tell based on the fact that they did not have access to workers in the plant.
Well, so there's two issues with the CDC report. Number one, obviously, all the recommendations the CDC made, we support, and the workers in general, for the most part, support. You know, it's a 15-page report, and 12, 13 of those pages are all things that Smithfield needs to be doing differently, and we can get behind that. But obviously, the two main issues with the CDC report are that, number one, it's not a particularly enforceable document. The CDC can't enforce it itself. You know, the state government would have to come in and say, "Hey, we're gonna enforce the document. We're gonna make sure that Smithfield abides by every single one of these recommendations." And they haven't done that. And number two, the CDC document makes it very clear that it's an incomplete document. It's an incomplete document because Smithfield upper management did not cooperate fully with the CDC investigation. They did not provide the CDC with significant data that the CDC requested, particularly demographic data and production model data. They're two pieces of data that are very important in order to come up with good recommendations. The CDC has said that they would take the data, they would still accept the data even today if Smithfield wanted to send it over, and then they would update their recommendations. So those are two things that really need to happen. Someone needs to step in and say that they're going to be in charge of enforcing the CDC recommendations, and Smithfield needs to commit to cooperating fully with the CDC.
Is that responsibility fall on the state, on the CDC, or on Smithfield executive leadership?
Well, the state.
The enforceability feature, yeah.
The state could step in and say that, using the state health department, and say that, you know, we're going to oversee the implementation of these CDC recommendations. And if you don't follow all of these CDC recommendations on a given timeline, there's going to be penalties.
Let's talk about the president's executive order and how that changes the conversation.
Yeah. So I thought it was pretty poetic, that the, president issued this executive order on April 28th, the anniversary of the execution of Benito Mussolini. He's going to issue this executive order using his executive and state authority to send workers into unsafe conditions in order to secure short-term profits. And what are really going to end up being short-term profits? If any of these plants are opening prior to when it's safe for them to open, they're going to eventually have to close down in the next few weeks. And it makes more sense from a production standpoint to get things right now, to take your time and make sure the plants are safe so that you don't have to continue closing down in the future. But this is just a hasty move, and a move done not with the working class people, not with regular folks in mind. It's done with corporate CEOs and profits in mind.
So this is based on the 1950 Defense Production Act, which maybe none of us fully understand the legal and the authority of that act, but we've heard an awful lot about it. And, you know, it says in the executive order, uninterrupted to the maximum extent possible while following CDC and OSHA guidelines. Are there legal ramifications to, there's argument about whether or not the president has the authority to use the Defense Production Act to send workers back to work, or is it simply to make sure that the products are manufactured or, you know, given to, you know, to the right people first? For example, if you're manufacturing masks, they have to go to America versus being sent overseas, and the president can order that. That would be one sort of example. Does the Defense Production Act really apply here? Are we just saying that the president has called everybody back to work? Has he really? Does he have the legal right to do that under this provision of this section of the act?
Well, that's what he's ordered now. Whether it's legal or not, I don't know. You know, and with this president, whether something's actually legal or not depends on who's willing to challenge the legality of it. And I don't imagine that the Republican controlled Senate is interested in challenging the president on this issue. It seems to me like most politicians, Republican politicians, and their donors are behind the president on this. So I don't think there's going to be a difficult challenge. Another issue with the executive order is that it seeks to limit the liability of these companies. So basically, it limits the ability for workers to be able to sue their employers for putting them into unsafe conditions and then contracting this virus. And so that particular provision, you know, let alone that the Defense Production Act has been used for good things and in negative ways since it was created. But that set aside, adding in a liability shield for the most part with these employers really shows the true intent and heart of the executive order. It's to secure profits on the backs and at the expense of worker safety.
What do you know about the changes that have been made inside the plan? I want to talk about testing workers and going back to work in a moment, but first, there was a long list in that 15-page report from the CDC. Some of those changes were very simple, and some of them were very challenging because of the age of the plant and the way it is, the architecture of it when it comes to crowding. What do you know about what has changed?
That's right. Some of these suggestions are going to be difficult to implement. To this point, though, the folks on the ground in the plant have done a good job at starting to implement some of the easier things. They're going to continue with some of the things that they started before the plant shut down: temperature checks, spacing out in the for lunch periods, things like that. Some of the simpler things are going to continue. And they're also going to continue when it comes to reopening the plant. They're going to be doing a gradual reopen. So this week they only opened two departments, and that's a couple hundred workers. And they're going to reopen the plant based on a gradual reopen schedule. And that's good. If they have to reopen, opening on a gradual reopen schedule is a good thing. I wish the federal government, though, would have given Smithfield and the workers time to implement all the CDC recommendations before the plant reopened. Unfortunately, that's not the position we're in.
There's a lot of pressure from, hog producers, from consumers, various pressures are being put on to really ramp up production. But the CDC guidelines specifically said one of the things that could be used to help slow the spread and spread workers out was to slow down the line, essentially, and have fewer workers there, or fewer shifts, or spread out shifts, or different innovative ways to look at the production line. What do you know about, is it going to be once, it's a gradual reopening, but is it going to be all hands on deck, all systems go, meet those quotas that we, or meet that production schedule that we had before, or is it a slower on-ramping?
I believe as soon as the plant has the ability to be fully operational, it's going to be fully operational, and it's very likely that these lines are going to be moving faster than they were before they shut down. The CEOs have done a good job at creating a narrative of scarcity and of a need to get things out on the shelves very rapidly and quickly. And so I think that once they have the ability to, the lines are going to be, you know, running faster probably than they were before the plant shut down.
Is it one or the other? Because it seems like in much of that, as you mentioned, the narrative that there is this balancing of, you know, clearly these are essential workers. You know, America needs, you know, protein on the table. Farmers need something to do with this, you know, with their hogs, which need to go to market, need to go to slaughter, and workers need to be safe. Is there a way for all those things to happen, for all those needs to be met, or are we really balancing people's health and safety against the food security of a supply chain?
There's certainly a way where everyone's needs can be met, but that requires foresight. And that requires proper planning. So it requires proper planning from the CEOs. Folks at the top of management need to, if you're running any company, honestly, but if you're running a very large and important company, what you need to be doing is having a plan or preparations in place for a situation in which you might need to shut a plant down for a week. Or 2 weeks, and it's become very clear that none of these large food processors, none of these large food production companies have had any plan for, you know, if they had to shut their plants down for a week or 2 weeks, because they were in complete panic mode when this stuff happens. With prior planning, you can develop ways to where you can maintain supply and productivity and be able to shut down for 2 weeks if your workers need it, in order to secure their safety. On the other hand, it requires proper planning and foresight from the government to look at and say, okay, if there's an emergency and some food production plants shut down, we need alternatives for these farmers to be able to bring their stock somewhere, whether that's the state and federal government teaming up to buy the hogs from the farmers and give them out to food and handle the processing themselves, give them out to food banks, whatever there is, or if there's a need to kind of break up these large production facilities so that everyone in an area or in a geographic area is not relying on one plant, where if you have many several different plants, some maybe smaller plants, maybe that would be more effective. But, you know, it requires bold leadership and foresight, both from the business perspective and the government perspective. And when this pandemic hit, at least, it's very clear we didn't have either one of those.
I am no expert on the Defense Production Act, and I'm not asking you to be one either. But as I sort of interpret it, the president could order whatever is produced at that plant to be sent to American stores and used to feed Americans. Clearly, there has been a huge export in the past, including to China. Do you know anything about, as that supply chain gets moving, where those products will go? Will they go to the proverbial us, or will they go overseas?
I don't think the president has put in a provision of his executive order that mandates that Americans be fed first. And I would be surprised if he had. I think that I don't imagine that this authorization of the Defense Production Act in this situation, I don't think this is a get it to the Americans first situation. I think this is, from the standpoint of this executive order, I think this is let's get these companies back up and running and profitable again.
What do we anticipate from this testing site where so many people, thousands of Smithfield employees and their families are being tested in Sioux Falls? The Governor Noem said, expect these positive or confirmed cases to rise. What are the workers saying about the testing, about returning to work, and about what happens when some of those numbers come back? Because we know so well that this disease can be transmitted and so many people can be asymptomatic. So talk for a minute, if you will, about the workers and what they're saying about the testing and about the process to go back to work.
Yeah, so this mass testing is a great idea, and it's something that the workers themselves were pushing for a long time, since before the plant shut down. The workers were pushing for mass testing of every employee. For a long time, the state and the governor's office was saying that only folks who were symptomatic were going to be tested, and that caused a lot of anxiety and a lot of concern from the part of the workers, because they know that you know, many folks, maybe even a half or a majority of folks who contract the virus and somehow remain asymptomatic throughout. And that causes a lot of anxiety on a worker to know that you have been exposed in a workplace and around people who have tested positive. I'm feeling fine. I'm not showing any symptoms. But in the back of your head all day long, it's kind of eating at you that you know this whole time you might be carrying this virus to your coworkers. You might be carrying it back home to your family. You might be carrying it, you know, around your community and whatnot. And that causes a lot of anxiety. So this testing gives the workers the opportunity to kind of relieve that anxiety, relieve that stress, and know for sure, you know, and know for sure how to act responsibly from there. Not only are all the workers able to get tested, but all their family members as well, their immediate family members are also getting tested for free at that same site. And so that's definitely a step in the right direction. Workers are still anxious. Workers are still a little nervous about going back to work. They love what they do. They love their job. They love their coworkers. They want to get back into their normal routines like everyone else does. But they really don't want to be forced to go back into the same unsafe environment that they left. When they go back to work, they want to be walking into a totally new environment, an environment that prioritizes safety. And we're doing everything we can to make sure they do.
Before I let you go, there are so many workers, the national spotlight in the South Dakota spotlight, obviously on Smithfield workers. So many other workers are inspired by this and anxious about how this is unfolded as they are asked to come back to work. What is your advice about workers in all kinds of industries, from restaurants to factories to offices, who are looking around and having conversations with management about safety that they really have never had to have before?
Yeah, the best advice I can give anyone, especially a South Dakota worker, if they have concerns about their workplace, if they have concerns about workplace safety or their benefits, a lot of workers are facing hardship now because they didn't have paid sick leave, they didn't have paid family leave. A lot of workers across South Dakota do not have either one of those things because that's something that's not guaranteed to South Dakotans by state law. A lot of states, they guarantee their citizens paid sick leave, paid family leave. But here in South Dakota, that's not something that's guaranteed to you by law. And a lot of workers don't have it. So my advice is, you know, the best advice I can give is if you have concerns like that, if you don't have these basic level protections, if you're concerned about the safety of your workplace, the best thing you can do is call a union. The only way that the workers in South Dakota have the authority and ability to get paid family leave and paid sick leave and better and safer working conditions outside of passing a law at the legislature, which is very difficult, is to organize a union, which is a comparably very simple process. And at that point, the management is mandated by law, has to by law, sit down and negotiate with you and your coworkers, safer working conditions, paid sick leave, paid family leave, these benefits that you're missing out on. So the best advice I have to South Dakota workers who are facing that anxiety and concern is to call a union.
Cooper Caraway is president of the Sioux Falls AFL-CIO. Cooper, thank you. We look forward to talking to you next time.
Thank you, Lori.